May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to God. Amen. Please be seated. It can sometimes be helpful to read stories from the Bible and try to translate them to the present day. So in 2026, today, who are like the Israelites wandering in the wilderness, and who is like the woman at the well? If you want to think metaphorically, many people wander in spiritual wilderness, but we can also think literally. Many people today wander in a wilderness seeking a safer and more fruitful life. Thousands have wandered in a wilderness on their way to the southern U.S. border. Many of them have died of dehydration and thirst, and even more die regularly around the world. According to the International Organization for Migration out of the UN, in 2025, at least 7,600 people died or went missing on migration routes worldwide, and that's probably a low estimate. IOM Director General Amy Pope said, "These deaths are not inevitable. When safe pathways are out of reach, people are forced into dangerous journeys and into the hands of smugglers and traffickers." I was away this week at an Episcopal Church conference, and one of the workshops there focused on future forecasting and its implications for ministry. One of the statistics quoted was that the World Bank expects that by 2050, a billion people worldwide, billion with a B, will become climate migrants, forced to move because their homes can no longer feed or sustain them. So nations will have to decide whether and how to welcome these people, which creates both opportunities and challenges. Human migration will be a major issue in all of our lives for the rest of our lives. So the Israelites in the desert were political migrants, fleeing an oppressive regime that had enslaved them. But God heard their cry. God listened to their complaint. God saw their thirst and led Moses to a rock where the water could flow. So let's ask the same question of the gospel lesson. Today, in 2026, who is like the woman at the well? Jesus was in her territory visiting a Samaritan town. The gospel writer took pains to explain that Jews and Samaritans did not regularly associate. They considered each other other. And so who is considered other today? There are many examples, including in some communities, immigrants and undocumented people. Like the woman at the well, many immigrants to the U.S. are scared of their neighbors. Many avoid going out during the busiest times of the day. Many are people of deep faith, but their faith may differ slightly from others. But Jesus noticed this isolated and terrified woman. Jesus spoke to her. He honored her dignity by recognizing that she had something to offer. And in return, he offered her living water. Now, we all thirst, humans and plants and animals. Water is the lowest common denominator of existence. Our bodies can't function without it. We cannot stay alive without it. And so water reminds us that we are all the same, all fragile, all dependent on the earth. The woman at the well was living in a very dry region, which is suffering even worse drought today. And so when Jesus offered her living water, she of course jumped at the chance. But soon she realized that Jesus meant more than H2O. Jesus offered her acceptance and dignity and worth. The woman experienced what Paul was describing in Romans. The love of God was poured into her heart by the Holy Spirit, and her life was changed. The love of God poured into our hearts helps us see that we are all sinners in need of help. The love of God poured into our hearts reminds us that we all struggle with the same challenges. The love of God poured into our hearts declares that Jesus lived and died and rose for us all. The love of God poured into our hearts is living water. It helps us see our oneness with all people so that we learn to live together as siblings rather than die together as fools. And it's an important reminder as our nation enters into a time of war, which we all hope and pray will be brief. As always, our military families are bearing heavy burdens in this time, and so please know this congregation loves you, is praying for you, and wants to do whatever we can to support you. We pray this crisis will eventually bring stability and hope to a troubled part of the world. But as we watch what happens in the Middle East, let us be guided by the love of God which has been poured into our hearts. Let us see all involved in this conflict as people beloved of God for whom Jesus died. And as we respond to human migration around the world and in this country, let us be guided by the love of God which has been poured into our hearts. Let us see all people as beloved of God for whom Jesus died. And I mention all of this because this week our bishop issued a pastoral letter on immigration for our diocese. A priest in our diocese had recently shared that some parishioners in his congregation had been taken into detention. That prompted a discussion among clergy in Atlanta about how to care for our Episcopal neighbors, and one outcome of those discussions was this pastoral letter. In our tradition, a pastoral letter is a message from a bishop intended for all within the diocese to hear and to take heart. It is a message from the shepherd to the flock. And Bishop Wright asked that it be shared today in every congregation in the Diocese of Atlanta. And so I will read this now, but hear this as the words of our bishop to all of us. Beloved in Christ, I pray this finds you certain that our ultimate allegiance belongs to Jesus the Christ. The Bible cries out that God's people are to love and care for foreigners and immigrants and strangers and the least. Scripture submits this as a directive without condition. The baptismal covenant is clear that we are to be the people who seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbor as ourselves, as we strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being. The call to attention, prayer, and advocacy on behalf of the most vulnerable flow seamlessly from Jesus's example, our tradition, and the words we use in worship each Sunday. We have all seen the news of ICE activity in other cities. Families in our own church communities, especially those from Hispanic backgrounds and other immigrants, are being battered by confusion, fear, and despair with the changes in immigration enforcement. Concern continues to grow at the possibility of increased ICE activity among us. I continue to believe that a great nation can uphold the integrity of its borders, remove dangerous criminals from its midst, and expect excellence in law enforcement, all while providing asylum to the fleeing and creating safety and a path to citizenship for those who live and labor among us. My faith in God and in people of good faith assures me that we can work together for a more just immigration policy without diminishing the dignity of anyone. We invite you to join us in continued prayer and faithful action for a more just immigration policy, for those adults and children in detention, and those who live in fear, and for our deeper alignment with the biblical mandate to love our neighbors as ourselves. We will continue to make available specific resources to support immigrants in our communities, including the opportunity to pray by name for those members of our communities known to us who are now living in detention and their families. Please know that I make this offering from my heart to your heart, that some hearts would be strengthened, some would be softened, and all hearts would increase in their devotion to God in Christ for the benefit of all God's beloved children. Your brother, the Right Reverend Robert C. Wright, Bishop. Let us pray. O God, make these words more than words and give us the spirit of Jesus. Amen.